Okay. So this could be our last shiur before Pesach. So I'd like to talk a little bit about the mitzvah of matzah. In machshava a little bit. So when I say to you matzah, your initial response is, what do you think when I say matzah?
Poor man's bread.
Marah. Poor man's bread. When I say matzah, what do you think? Huh? Make a face up. Okay. Good. So why is it called poor man's bread? You said poor man's bread.
Pretty simple piece of flat whatever. They were in a rush, so they took it out, and they didn't really have much else, so that was it. Therefore, so the poor man can afford.
Okay. Mandy gives us the standard chat of why we call it matzah, why it's called halach ma'anya. Let's take a look at the morale a little bit.
I'm not sure why it's called matzah.
Good. Okay. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit. But that's why it's called lechemoni. So he brings down like this. He says, Yeshlisho lama nikra ha-matzah lechemoni. Why is it called lechemoni? Vare efshir shehi noe ke matzah shlema. It could be very nice. It could be very nicely put together. Why is it called poor man's bread? I've seen some people who said that it's called oni v'pnei shehi nemucha v'einu gavoa. It's low down, and therefore it's called poor. And that's what happens when it's chametz. It rises, and that's why it's called poor. Because if you will, the bread, the physical shape of the bread is poor and, you know, depressed and deflated, perhaps you can call it. Hatam Hasheni. Others say the reason why it's called poor man's bread, he kasha lehis achel ve'itz tumcha, is because it's hard to digest in a person's stomach. It's tumcha, same words as stomach, yeah? V'lekach hi maichol ani. And that's why poor people eat it. So many people on Pesach think it's, you know, oh, you know, we're gonna have matzah, it's gonna be constipated. But the truth is, for somebody who's poor, that could be a good thing. It'll last him a long time. He'll be satiated for a long time. And that's why it's called. That's why we say these words. It's these words that really throw us off. Halach ma'anya, the acholo avasona ba'ar de Mitzrayim. This is the bread, the poor man's bread that we ate in Mitzrayim. And he brings down a perish. It's the simple reading of the words of the Haggadah. Ki b'Mitzrayim hayu Mitzriyim achilim es Yisrael matzah. That in fact the Jews were fed matzah in Mitzrayim. Right? These are a variety of reasons for why it's called lechemoni. Again, either it's physical structure, or because poor people eat it, because it lasts a long time, or because the Jews themselves, when they were slaves, they ate it. All of these lend to lechemoni. Let's stay on the lechemoni part of things. He says, "Behem dvarim sheyakish akosav ha'emes." He says it doesn't. This is contradicted by the psukim and by the truth. Yeah, this is not correct. He says. First of all, you won't find anywhere in the pasuk, in a mishnah, or in a gemara that says that the Mitzriyim gave them matzah. That's number one. Furthermore, we know the famous sifri he quotes. That the Yidden, when they were out in the Midbar and they were complaining about the food that they had, what did they say? Zacharnu es hadaga, we remember the fish that we used to eat. You know, it used to be good in Mitzrayim. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. Those are the days, man. Right? So it doesn't sound like they were suffering through eating this poor matzah. So, turning over the page over here. And he says, furthermore, he says, why else do we eat matzah? There's something else fundamentally missing. If we're eating the matzah because that's what they ate in Mitzrayim, really? He says, that's not what most people say. Most people, I say, why do we eat matzah? He says, it's because when they went out of Mitzrayim, the dough didn't have a chance to rise. Right? So, in fact, the matzah, this is a very critical changing point over here. The matzah is meant to remind us when we went out of Mitzrayim. The matzah is meant to be in some form something about gula. It's not poor man's bread, the famous contradiction of sorts, right? Whether matzah is for poor, is for the abdus or for the chayrus, poor man's bread, abdus over here. But we see something else, that matzah, lechemoni, is something that we ate when we left Mitzrayim, b'chipazon. And as he says over here, why would we call it oni if after all it's reminding us of Geula? So in short, the Maral is very stuck. He doesn't seem to like any of the ordinary pshatim that you probably heard in elementary school, perhaps even high school, as to why it's called Lechem Oni, which all seem to give in to the fact that matzah is in some fashion negative, some fashion reminding us of something terrible. Amnon by the number 2 over here. Maral says the following: Pirush Hadavar, Ki Hamatzah Nikra Lechem Oni, Hefech Matzah Ashira. Really, the matzah is called poor man's bread. When it says that, it means the opposite of Matzah Ashira. Matzah Ashira literally means enriched. In English, it's a good translation. It's enriched. Enriched with something or other, you know. Nowadays, matzah ashira is like egg matzah, perhaps. You know, you put in something else, it has something else in it. And he says, lechem oni, the reason why it's called poor man's bread, is because it doesn't have anything in it. It's plain. He says, once it has shemen or dvash, that's called ashira, that's enriching the bread. And that's because a poor person doesn't have anything, he only has simplicity.
That's a side question.
Huh?
Ask a side question.
You can ask a side question.
Why is egg matzah allowed?
We can't ask that question, huh? We can talk about that later.
That's my children, but like...
We don't think it's chametz. If we don't think it's chametz, so then it's just a matter of shouldn't you go to the mitzvah with it, and yeah.
Children aren't having mitzvah anyways.
We don't. It's not ideal. We don't typically give it to children for no reason. If they have some reason why they can't eat the other matzah, we'll give them that. Then. That's time to. That what? That what?
That it was like flat and...
Oh, I see. That it was flat. Okay. This is not saying that. Okay? This is not... I'm glad you pointed out. This is not saying that it's flat. This is saying that there's nothing extra in it. No, the first shot sounded more like a physical stature. Yeah, a physical stature. This is saying that there's nothing added to it. And... We'll read a little bit inside. He says, "Va'matza gamkin kasher ein bo rak etzem ha'isa." It only has the essence of the bread. "Sha'atzmos isa hu amayim va'kemach." It only has water and flour. "V'zeu atzmos isa u'b'zeh havi lechem oni." And that's why im yeshbo sa'or o chometz tam ha'sa'or va'chometz hu nosaf al etzem ha'isa. Then it has something extra. "V'zehu yoser asher min matza ashira." And so certainly if it has chametz or anything like that, that's certainly going to be ashira. So he says, again, lechem oni is the opposite. It's not coming to tell you that we ate it in Mitzrayim. It's not coming to tell you that it's low to the floor. It's not coming to tell you that it's what poor people eat. Yeah, none of the above. But it's called lechem oni because... It's simple. It only has, it's only flour and water. Yeah, it doesn't even have a chance to rise. Nothing else going on. It's only simple bread. And then he says by the number three, a very critical question. A very oft asked question on Pesach. The dichotomy of matzah. On one hand, we call it lechem oni. On the other hand, we call it, it has to do with geula. I'll prove it to you, right? Morer, we don't lean for it. There's no haseba by morer. Why not? Because it's zecher for the avdus, so we don't lean for that. We lean because of, that's the way the kings lean, that's because of cheres. By matzah, we know that's something the Gemara says is clear you have to lean for, right? Maybe more so even than the Dalet Kosos. It's for sure clear that you need to lean for matzah. So, and furthermore, the other part that we say, why do we eat matzah? Because when we left Mitzrayim, it's part of the geula. Maror is for when it was bitter, when we were being enslaved. Matzah is not like that. Matzah is for when we're going free. But now he's stuck because he says, okay, so now you're telling me on one hand, matzah is lechem oni. It's poor man's bread. Why? It's poor bread. I want to change it. Not poor man's bread. It's poor bread. The bread itself is poor. There's nothing in it. Yeah? Nothing extra in it. Nothing. Can't be bread without nothing in it. It has to have flour and water. And that's why it's called poor bread. Question is then, so why are we celebrating with this matzah? Right? And now, lest you just say like, oh, well, ma'isish ahoyah kachoyah. You know, like, well, that's what happened. We left Mitzrayim and it was like that. Very unsatisfying to say that, first of all. Because if so, why does the Torah make such a big deal about eating matzah? Right? That's number one. Number two, a question the Maral brings up later on, or a proof that the Maral brings up later on, says if you look carefully in the Psukim, when was the first time we ate matzah? In the Psukim. Anybody? Yeah, not Avram Avinu. In the Psukim, you know the first time we ate matzah was? The night before we left the Mitzrayim. When we were commanded on the Karban Pesach, we were told to eat matzah. Why are we eating matzah? If matzah is because we left in a hurry without it having a chance to rise, then why were we eating it last night? Huh? Why would the Karban Pesach? So the Ramban actually says, the Maral brings it down but doesn't like it. The Ramban actually says on that, oh, it's because Hashem knew what was going to happen, so he gave us the tzivoy. We just followed the tzivoy at first, and then it was just filled in the blanks later that since when we would leave, we would be not have a chance for the rise. That's what he says. He says, no, that's not correct. It's because lechem oni, simple bread, is reminiscent of the geula. And that's why even without the practical of, oh, we left Mitzrayim because the dough didn't rise, even without the practical, we were already commanded in it because matzah, lechem oni, poor bread, is in fact the very same thing as leading us to geula. It makes sense that it's leading us to geula. How? Okay, I'm very glad you asked that question. If you would accept my words and just nod your head, I'd be insulted.
Yeah? Inception at all?
Huh? Yeah, so let's see how that works. You ready? So here's what he says. He says, "Halo davar ze ein kasha. Ki ha'anius ba'atzmo hora'a al ha'geula." A wild thing he says. You have to hear it a few times. Yeah, he says, something that is lacking is itself indicative of geula. How so? She'ein inyan ha-geula rak she'yotze ve'ein lo shum tziruf el zulaso. What is geula actually? Geula is, of course, freedom, but it's more than just freedom. It's really the departure. It's leaving from where you were. And in order to do that, a tziruf is a connection. It cannot have a connection to anything else. Lokimo ha'eved. He gives an example of what's not called free. An eved. She'enu omeid ba'atzmo. He's not free. He's not. V'yesh lo tziruf el zulasa hu ha'adon. Right? What makes an eved not free? He has a master. He is bound to something else. Right? A simple way to explain this is, you guys are all bachim, you know. Before you get married, some bachim will tell you that they don't want to start dating yet. Why not? I'm very free now. You know, I can go where I want to go. I can do what I want to do. You know, once I get married, so then I have to do whatever my wife asks me to do. I'm bound to something. Right? There's something lacking in my... in my freedom. Why? Because I'm connected to something. What? I'm connected to something. I'll give you a more practical, a little bit sadder example. In the Holocaust, if you'll look at oftentimes who survived and who didn't survive the Holocaust, oftentimes it was the young people who were unencumbered. My grandfather, Alav Hashalom, survived the war. He was one of 11 children. Four of them survived the war. Yeah, which four survived the war? Not the four oldest. Which four? The two oldest were married already. They had kids. So they had to stay with their families, with their kids. All of a sudden they perished. I don't say it's because of that, but obviously, you know, these four brothers who survived, they basically just, they were in the forest. They were doing things that were, you know, extraordinary, that because they were not bound, they were able to go wherever they needed to go to get the safety. Once you have extra things, it becomes harder to attain safety. And so he explains like this. He says, something that has anius doesn't have any kinyan, and therefore it's shayich bo geula. That's actually shayich to geula. In a simpler version, you know, it's like backpacking. You know, it's like a thing, you backpack through Europe, right? What does that mean, backpack through Europe? You know what it means? It means I have everything that I need with me all the time. Now, is that good or bad? Well, on one hand, it's bad because you're lacking probably a lot of the things that most people would consider necessities. But on the other hand, it's an extraordinary sense of freedom to know that you are unencumbered. You don't have anything that's holding you anywhere. And so he says, really an extraordinary thing if you think about it. He says, that's why matzah is simultaneously called lechem oni. It's poor bread, but that is the bread of geula. That is what makes it be free. In order to really be free, we have to be not attached to other things, not connected to other things. And so Hashem told us when? Before we left Mitzrayim. The night before he told us, I want you guys to eat matzah. Why? Because this matzah represents freedom. How does it represent freedom exactly? It's not so tasty. The other stuff was tastier. It was sweeter, the other stuff. Yeah. The answer is because freedom requires the ability to detach yourself from anything. You know, I don't know what you guys do when you finish your school year, but I remember what we did when we were kids. You know, by the time I got home, my knapsack was I don't know where. You know, the books were I don't know where. The knapsack was I don't know where. For a whole year, I slept around the knapsack, and I had all my schoolwork in it. And by the time I got home, I was free. Yeah, how did I free myself? Yeah? You got rid of everything. When you get rid of everything, you're actually free. And so that's what the Maharal says, is how, not like everybody else says, really. I mean, the Ramban also, he brings a different Ramban and says also, the Ramban says there are aspects of matzah which are avdus, aspects which are cheres. The Maharal says, no, it's all cheres. It's all about freedom, and the only way to be free is if we have complete and utter simplicity. Flour and water. That's how we can be free. He even goes further to explain the we know that last week we read Parshas HaChodesh. He says that's why Nisan, that's why Geulah happens in the first month. Why? Listen to what he says. Because obviously this is already in the thinking world, not in the physical world. He says because the first month is not attached to anything. It's on its own. It's free to go. The second month is attached to the first month. Okay? Simple. It's the second month. Why is it the second month? Because there was the first month. Why is this the first month? Because there's nothing else. So he says that's an aspect of Geula. And he says something. Now this has a lot of bearing, especially you mentioned you're going to a hotel for Pesach. You know, we know that the modern day version of Pesach in a hotel is basically make sure we're not missing anything from our regular diet, just with a lot more calories and a lot more sugar and potato starch in it, but all of the things that we're used to eating. But ultimately, is that really creating a place of freedom, or is that creating the opposite? It's showing that I cannot survive without that, right? Many a teenager will tell you, you know, you guys know I have teenagers, I can't get them out of my head, you know? Yeah, when did I get freedom? What do you mean, when I got my smartphone and I could text my friends all day and all night? You call that freedom? Yeah, try without your phone for a week, then you'll find freedom. Yeah, that's only shibud. That's only shibud. We're only attaching ourselves. The morale is not crazy. The morale knows what we're talking about. If you look by the number four, look how he expresses the words. He knows he's saying a chiddush. He says, "Va'od teida eicha matzah shilechem oni shayich ala geula v'zeh ki ha'oni she'en lo davar v'zeh inyin pshitus kasher omid ba'atzmo." He has nothing with him. That's good. V'davar zeh imshu chisaron nechshav ba'olam hazeh. Yeah, it's usually considered a chisaron. Oy nevoch. You don't have anything. You don't have, you know. You don't have a car? I don't have a car. You know? Oh, that's terrible for you. How do you get around? I get around, no problem. The train works for me when I want to. I get a ride when I want to. I don't have to worry about open outside parking. I don't have to worry about repairs. I get around. Yeah. He says, Shehu Olam HaHerkava. He says, the natural state of this world is an Olam HaHerkava. We're constantly trying to attain possessions and attach ourselves to things. Hakava is like a rakevet, like a train, to be morkav, to be grafted, attached to things. We generally want to attach ourselves to many things. He says, but lamaisa, listen carefully to what he says. He says, but specifically for what we're celebrating on Pesach, namely geula. By geula, it backfires. By geula, the more you have, the worse off you are. That's what happens by geula. You want to go somewhere? You want to be free? Oh, wait, I just have to get my stuff. And the guy comes out with like 9 suitcases. No, forget it. You know, you missed the train. There's no room in the car for you. You know what I mean? You travel with your backpack, yeah, that's what we call freedom. He even says somewhere else. He doesn't say it over here, but he says it somewhere else. He says, it could be after Geula. It could be then. It's a good thing to have more possessions. You know, once you're free, you have two possibilities. Whether like you should better off with nothing or better off with a lot. You know? Maybe you don't need anything. But he says, maybe after Geula, but the process of Geula, one who has all of these attachments, will not be that. And that's what he says is in fact the essence of Lechem Oni. Literally, not a pshat we've probably heard before. Let's just review. Right? Lechem Oni is the bread which is simple. And simplicity, which might be construed as being poor, is in fact a critical component in the ability to be free. You know, on a personal level, I think we all have this. We all have our things that we kind of feel attached to. You know, a small child, when he has a security blanket, Right? As much as a security blanket is a cute thing, when we get a little older, we recognize at the time he has to let go of it. Because as long as he's holding on to the security blanket, he's in fact not free. Right? All the things that we hold on to as, oh, I need this, I have to have this, these are in fact things which indicate within us a certain lack of freedom that we have not yet attained. Mitzvah Hashem, this Pesach we should find all sorts of freedoms, spiritual, physical, and discover that just between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have everything we need. Amen.